familiar with, where I'm comfortable with, where we previously were coming from. I was preaching through this book, and so I just wanted to share some of my favorite areas of this book with you. And so we'll be turning over to the book of Hebrews. So if you can turn there, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to cover verses 7 through 9. I'll go ahead and read, and then I'll go ahead and pray. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, starting in verse 7. Who, that being Jesus Christ, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the great privilege that you've given me to expound upon your words. I pray, Lord, that everything I say, everything that I do now, is handled appropriately, correctly, and brings glory and honor unto your Son. Lord, this is truly the way I feel and what I would like to do for you. Give me freedom, free course by the Spirit, that I may be able to do this. And I pray also that it be an edification and truly a blessing for each person that hears this great truth from Hebrews chapter 5. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen. These verses contextually show Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, our once for all high priest, who was made perfect and became the author of our eternal salvation by obeying his Father and fulfilling his prophetic work as the suffering servant. Jesus Christ accomplished all by prayer and supplication to the obedience of God the Father. The context of the book of Hebrews is the perfect high priest, Jesus Christ. The context of the book of Hebrews is that there were Hebrews, just like Ryan had brought out from 1 Peter when we were there on Sunday, there were Hebrews that were being persecuted. They were being persecuted, and many of the Hebrews were going back to the temple. They were going back to the temple, refusing their profession of Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they were placing their hands on that bloody substitute in the temple. They were basically crucifying the Son of God afresh every time they went back there. So Hebrews chapter 5 talks and starts to develop the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 begins by saying, who in the days of his flesh? The who, of course, refers to Jesus Christ, who in the context is the necessary perfect high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So if you just take a look at Hebrews chapter 5, 6, it says, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And this is making reference back to Psalm 110, where David recognized the coming Messiah as the priest after the order of Melchizedek. And just to give you a little bit of background, where actually, Paul gets into this later in the book of Hebrews, but Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1 says, if you can turn over there, it says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. This is the prefigurement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an eternal priest. This describes Melchizedek back in those days as a priest that came out of no one knows where. He was eternal. He had no beginning. He had no end. And so Jesus Christ is this perfect high priest, and that's what Paul's developing here in chapter 5 as we begin in verse 7. So also, Paul teaches more concerning Jesus Christ's priesthood, going into 7, 8, and 9. And if I'm invited to preach more, I would like to get into that also, because I've done a lot of extensive research in that area. And it's amazing truth, and has been a blessing to me in my Christian walk. So Paul continues to bring out the God-man, who suffered by referring back to the days of his flesh. Now remember also in Hebrews 5:2, if you take a look at Hebrews 5:2, this will give us some context. Who can, now the who here is the earthly priest. Paul develops Jesus Christ after the order of Melchizedek later in 5 by first mentioning the earthly priest. So in 5:2 it says, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Because the earthly priest was a man, he too was a sinner. He was encompassed with infirmity. If you remember when they went into the temple, they not only gave sacrifice for the sins of the people, but they gave sacrifice for themselves because they were sinners. They were encompassed with infirmity. So what we're getting into here is Jesus Christ, it was necessary that he experience the same. Paul emphasizes and brings out a focus on Jesus Christ in the flesh. Like us, Jesus Christ suffered in the flesh and was tempted. Now don't forget the context so far. Like the earthly priest, Jesus Christ is a man like us. Because of this, he can succor and make reconciliation for us in time of need. And that's the context of what Paul's bringing out to those Jewish Hebrews who were suffering that persecution from family, friends, and other Jews as they had professed Jesus Christ. He's saying Jesus Christ suffered too. And he's showing the perfect example of suffering. Any that turn from their sin and repentance can place their faith in the perfect high priest and his sacrifice. In time of suffering and temptation, we can boldly go to the throne of grace because of our perfect high priest. And if you remember, Jesus Christ, the perfect high priest, went into the Holy of Holies. The veil was rent into two. This is how we're able to boldly go to the throne of grace. He is our perfect high priest. But as I've also brought out, and you've heard me bring out in prayer before here in the church, not only that, he's also king. He's the perfect high priest, both king and priest. And that's after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was an example, a prefigurement of this priestly king. Amen. This context is important to understand as Paul exhorts those Hebrew professed believers. Remember, they were professed believers who under persecution were going back into the temple. Paul shows us what Jesus Christ did in the days of his flesh when he was tempted by his infirmities. Jesus Christ's physical torture and temptations went far beyond anything any man has ever known. Let's go ahead and turn over to Isaiah 52 and just take a look at that very familiar passage. Isaiah chapter 52, and it'd be verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Jesus Christ suffered and went through more than any man has ever gone through. I could also go over to Isaiah 53. We're very familiar with that and the whole context of Isaiah 53, but that shows Jesus Christ in what he went through on that cross. Because Jesus Christ was God and had no sin in him, he couldn't die unless he chose to. Our sin is the reason God the Father willed his Son to die. Jesus Christ, who is the author of Isaiah 52 and 53, knew in his flesh what he was about to do. And Christ, because of his reverence for his Father's will, offered up prayers and supplications because he was in agony. Let's go ahead and take a look at Hebrews 5:7 again. It goes on and says, when he had, or I'll begin, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications. Now, the word prayer here is the Greek word desis, and this word means petition, request, and also supplication is the Greek word hikateria, and is through the idea of approaching for a favor or to be entreated. So we see that Jesus Christ offered up prayers and supplications because he needed help. The two words are close in meaning, but their use together denotes an emphasis on our terrible sin, resulting in Jesus Christ's pain and suffering on the cross. Jesus needed heavenly aid to drink the appointed cup. He knew his Father could and would help him by praying for his Father's will and not his. When we pray, we are instructed to request that which is God the Father's will. That's what we pray for. Turn over to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. I think this is very misunderstood in many circles. But Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." This is the model prayer. This is when the disciples came to him and said, "How should we pray?" Jesus gave this example. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." And there's your next word, "thy will be done." On earth, thy will be done. In earth, as it is in heaven. Jesus Christ prayed for the Father's will, not his. He was in the midst of the greatest trial any man has ever gone through. And he put his will aside. And he wanted the Father's will. We know also that the Father's will was that his Son go to the cross. And we know also that the Father heard his Son's words. Hebrews 5:7 goes on and says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death." So Paul now teaches the Hebrew who is under great persecution. Remember that, they're under great persecution. And Paul is giving this example of the greatest sacrifice, the greatest persecution. So while the Hebrew is under great persecution because of their professed faith in Jesus Christ, Paul teaches what their perfect high priest did in his greatest trial. Paul uses the clear example of this from Matthew 26. So if you turn over to Matthew 26, Matthew 26, and we begin in verse 36, Matthew 36, this is the prayer that Jesus made in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me. There he goes. He's in such pain. He wants the cup to pass away. If this cup not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. As he come and found them again asleep, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So God the Father expressed His will unto His Son by not taking away the cup. Jesus petitioned the Father with strong crying and tears. Turn over to Luke 22. We get a little more description of this. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, and that would be verse 44, 22:44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus Christ was bleeding from his sweat. Jesus Christ was in such agony as he carried our burden of sin and looked to the cross and the prospect of death. Jesus Christ would soon be completely forsaken and separated from his Father for the first time in eternity. Hebrews 5:7 goes on and says, at the last part of that verse, and was heard in that he feared. Jesus Christ's prayer was heard by the Father. Take a look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, looking at verse 39. Matthew 26, 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You see, the Father's will is what God the Father heard. Hebrews 5:7 ends with, he feared. He feared is the Greek word, Jeff would have to pronounce this, but elabia, and it means reverence, piety, dread. God the Father heard his Son, who had great reverence and piety for him. The Father always hears the Son. Turn over to John. Turn over to John. Where am I here? John chapter 11. John chapter 11, looking at verse 41. 11:41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And of course, this account is Lazarus and Jesus resuscitating Lazarus, I get that right. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. We see in this verse Jesus going to his Father in the time of greatest need here in Hebrews chapter 5, because Jesus knew the Father always hears him. Always hears him. Hebrews chapter 5:8. Hebrews 5:8. We continue. Starting in 7, I'll read 5:8. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. That verse begins with, though he were a son. So now Paul moves from the emphasis on Jesus Christ the man, and Paul goes back to Jesus Christ's deity as the Son of God. And Paul has already established this with the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 1. So if you turn back to chapter 1, keeping it in context is what the Hebrew would have understood. Chapter 1 and verse 7 says, and of the angels he saith, this would be God the Father saying this unto the angels, who maketh his spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. That's God the Father saying to the angels, I made you spirits and ministers and flames of fire. Verse 8 says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. That is God the Father speaking to God the Son, calling him God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. When Paul says in Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, it can be interpreted as Paul saying, even though Jesus is God. So let's just begin by going back to the beginning of 5:8. Though he were a son, even though Jesus were God, then we take the next part of 5:8, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Even though Jesus was God, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Paul focuses on Jesus Christ, the God-man, who was never disobedient, but learned obedience through suffering. As Jesus Christ suffered like us, he learned our infirmities. He learned obedience through suffering as a man, even though he is God. Jesus Christ always was and is obedient to God the Father's will. He has reverence and piety towards his Father. Turn over to John 4. John 4. John chapter 4, looking at verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Jesus's subsistence, his food, is to do the will of the Father. That's his purpose. That's what he came to do. Period. That's who Jesus Christ is. And that's what Paul is bringing out here. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 29. 8:29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You see, Jesus knows the Father's will. He knows what the Father's will is. Take a look at Luke 24. You guys will learn. You'll always beat me to the references. Hebrews 24, we're looking at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. You see, Jesus must fulfill the scripture. He is the Word. He knows the Father's will. He came to do the Father's will. He said, I gave them your words, and they have kept them. Even though Jesus was God and knows the will of the Father, Paul teaches that Jesus Christ displayed obedience by subjecting himself to the temptations and suffering of his ministry. Jesus had to come and suffer in the form of a man. That's important. And Paul brings that out a great deal in the book of Hebrews. You see, they were going back to the temple. They did not believe Jesus Christ was God and that his sacrifice was good enough. They looked to the temple sacrifice. Jesus Christ in his humanity had to show obedience. Look over at Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The ultimate obedience. Take a look at Isaiah 50. Isaiah chapter 50, taking a look at verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting. Jesus was obedient. Take a look at Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, looking at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Jesus Christ knew the Father's will. He knew what he had to do. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, taking a look at verse 18, 2:18. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Also Hebrews chapter 4, right over in verse 15. The whole context of the book of Hebrews. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. More context. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, in other words, we're under great persecution, Paul's saying. We have lots of witnesses watching our profession. We're under a cloud of great witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. That sin that so easily beset the Hebrews in the context of the book of Hebrews is the evil heart of unbelief. That's the sin that Paul, within the context of chapter 12, is dealing with. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Chapter 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ grew in favor with God the Father. Take a look at Luke 2. Luke 2. Luke chapter 2, looking at verse 40. 2:40, and the child, that being Jesus Christ, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Look down at 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He increased. And look what else he did. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus Christ, through his obedience, through the trials, through everything that he went to make himself familiar with what we go through, which makes him qualified to be a high priest, he had to do this in order to be qualified to be our high priest. He understands what we go through. And so Jesus Christ here, he did this and he gained favor with God the Father. He grew in favor with God the Father. Jesus Christ's obedience fulfills all righteousness. We could go to John the Baptist in 3:15, where he baptized Jesus Christ, and Jesus said we need to fulfill all righteousness. This is an example of that. Jesus Christ, the God-man, is qualified by God the Father's requirements to be our perfect high priest. Jesus Christ displayed the required obedience. Necessary by God the Father's will, Jesus was perfect in his obedience. Hebrews 5:9. Hebrews 5:9, I'll begin from 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And then 5:9 begins, by saying, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. So because Jesus Christ became perfect through suffering and temptation, his obedience to the Father's will, he became the author of eternal salvation. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, looking at verse 10. For it became him. What this means in the Greek, if you were to look at the Greek's words behind this, for it became him, it meant that Jesus Christ was fit. He was proper in the eyes of God the Father. That's what this means. So, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. This is what became him, and why he's fit and proper to do this, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 5:9 continues, unto all them that obey him. So remember Jesus Christ's ministry. He preached the gospel. Jesus preached the same message that John the Baptist preached. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For the audience of the book of Hebrews, all that obey Jesus Christ's message and turn from the temple sacrifice will have eternal salvation. The temple sacrifice no longer saves. All those who under suffering from persecution that do not obey Jesus Christ will not see eternal salvation. For those Jews going back to the temple, their fruit displays a false profession in Jesus Christ. That's the context of the book of Hebrews. And so, in the days of Jesus Christ's flesh, when he faced the worst suffering of all, he found strength by making prayers and supplications to the one that he knew could and would help in that time of need. Jesus always knew the Father's will, and through prayer accomplished it. Jesus learned obedience by suffering. Jesus Christ finished his earthly ministry by his finished work on the cross, making him the perfect sacrifice and our perfect high priest, the author of our eternal salvation. So you have to ask yourself the question, are you going to follow Jesus Christ's example? This is an example of who we are as Christians. This is an example of godliness. Jesus gave us the example. This is what we're to do. We don't pray our will. That prayer won't be answered. How many Christians pray for all kinds of things? The Bible says, if you pray the Father's will, you'll have answered prayer. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Every time. Every time Jesus prayed the Father's will, the prayer was answered. And the same is for us. But we so often get confused in our suffering and in our trials. And we don't accept the Father's will. How do we know the Father's will? Well, that's simple enough. Right here. Amen. Jesus knew the Father's will. This is his book. He knew exactly the Father's will. If you know the Father's will and you pray for it and you know it's here, you can bank that that prayer will be answered. It's a guarantee. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not the next week. But God will answer that biblical prayer. So I would encourage everyone in your prayer life, find a verse, find something from here to request. And remember, the model prayer says, thy will, thy kingdom come. That's what you're to want. That's what you're to pray for every day. Lord, let it be today. That's why we look forward to Jesus coming back. Today is the day. We'll go ahead and bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your Son, our perfect high priest. We are so thankful for his perfect example of godliness. His faithfulness has made him perfect. He speaks on our behalf. We can now go before you. We can boldly go into the Holy of Holies, the very heavenly holy place. And Jesus speaks on our behalf. Anything we request, Father, that is your will, as revealed from the Scriptures, you will answer. Because it glorifies you. And Lord, we're to seek your glory. I thank you so much for Bible Baptist Church. I just thank you that we have this country where we can expound upon these truths and these words and not face the persecution that these Hebrews faced in their day. We are so privileged. Gracious Father, I just pray that for each person here, I pray that this might help them in their prayer life. This might help them to know what to request, to know how to approach a trial or suffering, and what your will would be as we go through this. Gracious Lord, we're thankful for your Son. And I pray that everything I said and did tonight was glorifying unto him. It's in his name that I came before you, Father.